Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. It's Through the Bible with Joe McGee. We're going from Genesis all the way to Revelation, all 66 books. Incredible journey. You know, most people have never read the Bible all the way through. It's a really, really good story. Now, you have to understand the Bible's not written in order when it happened. Genesis is the beginning of things. And I've told you before, Genesis covers about 2,500 years. From Matthew, the book of Matthew to Revelation, that covers about 70 years. And the books aren't sitting in, they're not in order. They're in order from the longest book to the shortest book before you get to Revelation. And so they're put together in a different way, not historically. They're just put together in the length of the books. And so Genesis covers some 2,500 years, and it's a great beginning. And I tell everybody you ought to read it. Read it on your own. Get a great translation, you know, Amplified, New Living. Find something that reads well. I still study my King James. Most of the books, you know, that the word study books, you know, use the King James or the New King James. And I still have that, but I don't read King James. I don't speak it. So I like the New Living Translation. It's really good. Now, the whole story of the Bible starts with Adam and Eve. You know, you get down and come through the story of Noah and the Great Flood and what happened to him and his family. And then you get down where things get really serious. You get down to the story of Abraham and the fathers of the faith, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And people say, well, was Abraham a Jew? No, he wasn't. there were no Jews when Abraham was born. Was Isaac a Jew? Nope. You know, it comes down to Jacob and one of his sons named Judah. And that's where they get the term Jew, comes from Judah, you know, the offspring of Judah. So that's the birth of the Jewish people. But they credit Abraham. And so, you know, I've been to Israel three times. I love going over there. It's a fascinating country to study and travel around in. Most tours, they'll try to take you into Jerusalem for about half the time than the other country. And so I've been now three times. I like the countryside. I like to go by the Sea of Galilee. Jesus spent 70% of his ministry around the Sea of Galilee. You know, talking to normal people every day, doing great things and miracles and teaching phenomenal things. And so I love Jerusalem, beautiful city. God's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years out of Jerusalem. It is the center of the universe. It's not a pretty city. There's no lake, no river. All the trees there have been planted because it's a desert. But it is the center of the universe. It's where God lives. When Jesus comes back to rule and reign for 1,000 years, he's coming back to Jerusalem. So that's God's city. So when you try to get the whole story of the family of God, starting with Adam and Eve, come back through Noah, then you start with Abraham, it is a fascinating story. But you got to kind of keep it in sequence. So Abraham, he grows up down around the Euphrates River, a town called Ur. In modern history, it's sort of southern Iraq. It's where southern Iraq is today. It was like the New York City of its day. Busy, wealthy, bustling with art, culture, crafts. The oldest written language on record. Instead of using an alphabet, ink, or paper, writers used reed sticks to press pictures into soft clay. And that was the first language of the human race, of mankind. And so when you go back to realize where Abraham was and when he lived and how he lived, it's fascinating. And so when you read the Bible, you have to realize, well, who wrote the book? For example, you go back to Genesis. Who wrote Genesis? Why did they write it? Where were they at? What were they trying to say? So it's the who, what, where, how, why, when. Now, I worked as an engineer for years, and I loved my job, but it was fascinating. I was what they call a process engineer. We created things. We made new product. And so what we did, nobody ever done before. What we created, nobody seen before. It's kind of like God. We did things nobody ever seen. And so there were tests and trials. Sometimes things happened quick, but most of the time they happened over a long period of time. And we learned how to make things better. How can we make this better? How can we make it serve mankind better? How can we make it faster? How can we make it with more quality? So we're trying to improve the process. Well, what's God doing? That's what God's doing with the human race. He's trying to improve the human race. God promised in the book of Acts, in the last days, he will pour out his spirit on all flesh. That the sons and daughters would prophesy, would dream dreams and have visions. God's moving like a freight train. But God does not have a newspaper. You don't read about God in the local paper. You're not going to see God on the local news. Every time Jesus did a miracle, the first thing he told somebody was, shh, don't tell anybody. Because God's a one-on-one God. And so when you start reading the Bible, you got to go, well, how'd this thing start? Well, it started with a guy named Abraham. So for reasons unknown, Abraham's father, Terah, decides to move his entire family to the boonies of Canaan. That'd be like a New Yorker moving to the cornfields of Iowa. Now, I love Iowa, one of the most beautiful states in the whole country. Greenest place you've ever seen when that thing's ripe, when the corn's up and the asparagus, all the stuff they grow. It's just incredible. But it's kind of like moving from New York to the cornfields of Iowa. Terah stops halfway to Canaan. They settle some 600 miles upriver. It's a busy caravan town called Haran. It's a modern-day Turkey. It's Turkey's side of the border with Assyria. Well, Terah dies. God tells Abraham, well, now that your father's dead, I want you to finish the trip to Canaan. That's when God promises to grow Abraham's family into a great nation. And that's quite a promise for a child, a 75-year-old man with a 66-year-old wife. He says, I'm going to make you a great nation. So Abraham obeys God, moves his household and his herds south to what is now known as Israel. It's not called Israel, it's just land. A decade later, he still has no kids. Abraham's wife, Sarah, decides it's time to call in a surrogate mother. So ancient Middle Eastern custom allows it. By law, this child belonged to Sarah and Abraham. So Sarah chooses her Egyptian-born servant, Hagar, as a substitute mother. So Hagar gives birth to Abraham's first son, Ishmael. Now, people don't realize this, but this is a big thing. God's promised Abraham that he'll be the father of a great nation. You know, the angel visits Abraham one day and brings him outside the tent. Get outside your tent, Abraham. Look up in heaven. How many stars do you see? Well, you can't count them. And Abraham says, I don't know. There's too many. He says, that's how big your family's going to be. That's how many seed you're going to have. Then he takes him down to the shore, shows him the sand on the seashore by the lake. He said, can you count the sand? No. Well, that's how many kids you're going to have. That's going to be your family. Stars of heaven and the sands of the sea. I'm going to make you a big family. He's talking about rid of the body of Christ. The church is coming. And so Abraham moves his whole household and his herds, what is now Israel. When he realizes he's got no kids, so he has a boy by his wife's handmaid and called Ishmael. But God says the son he has in mind for Abraham will not come in his mind. It will come from Sarah, not from some other lady. So God shows up as a traveler in Abraham's camp, and he says so. Sarah hears the conversation. Now, she's 91 at the time. Abraham's old, he's over 100. She's 91, way too old to have kids. She thinks, she's not too old to laugh. So God hears her laugh, and he assures her that he's going to get the last laugh. You're going to have a family. So within a year, Sarah gives birth to a boy, and she names that boy Isaac. Isaac's Hebrew, and it means laughter. Isaac was going to be great and joy to his parents. So we have Ishmael, the firstborn, and we have Isaac. Well, Sarah didn't want Isaac to grow up having to split Abraham's wealth with Ishmael. In those days, the oldest son usually gets a double share of the inheritance and becomes the leader of the extended family. So Sarah convinces Abraham to send Hagar on her way and her son. Well, believe it or not, God approves. Promised to take care of both sons and make them each into great nations. Isaac's descendants will become the Jewish people. Ishmael is considered the father of Arab people. Ishmael has a dozen sons. Starts a dozen tribes scattered from Egypt to Saudi Arabia. So, let's go down the description to see how this thing lays out. It's a fascinating story. Genesis 17, verse 1. Abram is named Abraham. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, the God Almighty. Now, that's an incredible story. That's a whole sermon right there. I am El Shaddai, the God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. Genesis 17, verse 5. What's more, I'm changing your name. It will no longer be Abram. Instead, you'll be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations. Verse 9, the mark of the covenant. Then God said to Abraham, your responsibility is to obey the terms of the covenant. You and your descendants will have this continual responsibility. Back in 1715, Genesis 1715, God said to Abraham, regarding Sarai, your wife, she will no longer be Sarai, which means contentious woman. She'll be Sarah, the mother of nations. Genesis 17:17, Abraham bowed his head to the ground, and he began to laugh within himself in disbelief. How can I become a father at age 100, he thought. How can Sarah have a baby when she's 90 years old? But, verse 23, on that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael, and Abraham and his household, including those born and those he had bought, and then circumcised them, cutting off the foreskins, just as God had told him. Abraham was 99 when he was circumcised. Now, I bet you that was one sore day. So, in Genesis 18, verse 1, says this, the Lord appeared to Abraham near the oak grove, belonging to Mamre. On the day Abraham was sitting in the entrance of his tent during the hottest part of the day, he looked up and he saw three men standing nearby. He saw them, he ran to meet them, and he welcomed them, bowing down to the ground. Genesis 18, verse 9. The men asked, where's Sarah, your wife? The visitor said, she's inside the tent, Abraham replied. Then one of them said, I'll return to you about this time next year, and your wife Sarah will have a son. And Sarah was listening to the conversation in her tent. Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time. Sarah was long past the age of having children. Genesis 18, verse 12. So she laughed silently to herself and said, how could a worn-out woman like me enjoy such pleasure, especially when my master, my husband, is old also? Verse 13. Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, can an old woman like me have a baby? Then the angel said, is anything too hard for the Lord? I'll return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. And so Sarah did have a son. And his name was Isaac. So the story of Isaac starts. So God has to send Hagar and her son away. And God made them a great, great country. You know, father of the Arab world. They're wealthy. Anybody, at least you read the local news, watch the local news. Where's the money at in the Arab world? They own all the oil. God promised to bless the seed of Abraham. But that was not... Ishmael was not the plan. Isaac was the plan. But God's got to work with humans. He has to work with humans. And so he's got Isaac. Isaac was the plan. So years go by. They go to the mountain to worship every year. And so where the mountain they went to worship is actually, if you ever watch any news about Israel, it's the mountaintop. It's the top. It's where the big Muslim temple sits today. Well, that's where the Dome of the Rock is. Well, that was about where Abraham went to worship with Isaac every year. That big piece of rocks where he went to worship God. And so that's been a battle for years. Well, now the Muslims got it, and now they built their temple up there. And so there's this big war in Israel. You know, who's God's God? The Muslims God's God, or is the Jewish people God's God? Is the Christians God God? And so there's been this war from the beginning of time. And so Abraham takes Isaac down. He's about 16 or 17 years old. They go up to the mountain. They've taken people with them. The servants wait at the foot of the mountain. Abraham and Isaac go to the top of the mountain. They build an altar. They get the wood. They get ready to build the fire and have a sacrifice. Isaac tells his dad, hey, Dad, we forgot the sacrifice. Isaac said, no, son. Or Abraham says, no, son, I need to lay down and tell you a story. So he lays his son down on the altar and ties him up. He said, you're the sacrifice. Now, the words don't tell us, but I'm sure my dad's gone crazy. And so Abraham raised the knife up, and he's going to kill his son. He's going to offer his son on an altar. So what kind of wacky religion is this? Well, no, this is God. God had a problem. God needs to come to the earth and save the earth because Adam and Eve sinned, so Satan became the legal god of this planet, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Satan's the god of this planet. How did he get it? He got it from Adam. Why? Adam sinned. So Satan's got this planet, and so God's got to come down here, but he can't come as God. A human lost it, and a human's got to get it back. So from the beginning in Genesis, God's got to find a man on this planet, one man that will give him his son. He's got to find one human on earth that will give him his son. And through that human, he can give his son. And so when he raised Enoch up, God saw Abraham's heart. In his heart, he's going to sacrifice his son. And so, and Abraham said within his heart, and you can read the scriptures in Genesis, Abraham had already said, if God has to, he'll raise this kid from the dead. He promised me this would be my seed. So before the knife came down, God said, no, I saw your heart. In your heart, Abraham, you just gave me your son. So through your family line, I'll give my son. So if you read Matthew chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, the family line of Mary and Joseph, they go back to Abraham. So when Jesus was born, he was born legally. God came to earth legally as a human through the seed of Abraham. It's a fascinating study. So when you read your Bible, you realize that, man, God's had this plan from a long time ago. God does order steps. God does direct paths. God does show things to come. God is in control. Now, he doesn't move in a straight line, but God is in control of what's going on. So we live in the greatest day of human history. So you have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So Jacob has that big family, those 12 kids, and it lists what everyone did. Some were good, some were great, and some are not so good. So God tells the truth about all the families he's got. God doesn't lie about anything. He tells the truth. So when Judah was born, that's where we get the name Jew. Judah, Jewish people, they're from Judah. And so that's why the Jewish world, well, you're from the tribe of Judah. Now, the grandson of Abraham. You know, that's how God showed up on this planet. And so they know that. We know that. And so you and I live in the greatest time of human history. It's the last days the Bible talks about. In the last days, I'll part my spirit and all flesh. In the last days, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your men will dream dreams and have visions. In the last days, I'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children to the fathers. In the last days, God's going to have a great revival. And so we live in the greatest time of human history. Well, there's a lot of bad going on. Sure, there is. That Satan is still the temporary legal god of this planet. John 10:10, he kills, he steals, he destroys. He said, why is God doing it? God's not in charge. Lucifer's in charge. The only way God can come to this planet is when a Christian invites him. We call that prayer. So 8 times in the Bible, Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. Ask that your joy might be made full. And so we get to pray. We get to believe God. We get God to show up. So that's why the Bible said, Paul said, pray without ceasing. Pray all the time. With all manner of prayer, all kinds of prayer. You don't have to bow your head and close your eyes. You can pray when you're driving your car, when you're driving the tractor, mowing the grass, washing your clothes. You can pray. You just talk to God. It's what it's called. You're just talking to God. But God says, throughout that New Testament, Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. So you need to ask a lot. You need to ask every day. You need to have a list of stuff you're asking for. God will show up. So don't wait. You don't have to get holy, light a candle, shave your head, suck rug. Just ask God. He already knows what you need before you ask. He knows what you need before you ask, but he needs you to ask. It's a legal thing. Prayer is a legal thing. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we're about to go in the greatest story of humankind, what God does and the people he's going to use. And God does not use perfect people. There are no perfect people. God uses normal people. Again, I say all the time, the Bible says the righteous fall 7 times a day, but they get back up. We're not the perfect people. We're the getting back up people. What an adventure we're living. God, that's going to be good. You stay tuned. We're going to continue this story with Abraham's family next time. God bless. Thanks for listening. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.